Wednesday, August 16th, 2023. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is off to a good start. You are halfway to another weekend. And you know what? This time of year, I think maybe the best part of that is you're halfway to another weekend of preseason football, which means we're getting closer to the start of football, and I, for one, cannot wait for it, but it is coming quickly. You know, I hope your week is going well. Hope you, your family, and your friends are all staying strong and healthy wherever you may be listening to us right now. And, you know, if you listen to the Daily Dose much, then you know that every year I would get asked by listeners as to who my favorite English Premier League team is. Now, you know who I root for here at the Dose. I'm a Colorado person, born, raised, lived here in Colorado. And so I cheer for my Colorado teams. I cheer for the Broncos. I cheer for the Nuggets. But I kept being asked, well, who's your English Premier League team? I don't know. I didn't have one. I had no answer for that question. Until this year, I went out and said, okay, I'm going to pick a team. I'm going to pick a team and I'm going to stick with them. And I didn't want to be a front runner. I didn't want to go get a, you know, Man United or something like that. That didn't appeal to me. I also didn't want to be a cellar dweller. I didn't want to go get a garbage team that never wins anything. So this year, the Daily Dose actually announced that we would be adopting Tottenham Hotspur as our team going forward. And you know, this last year, the season started strong. Spurs came out. They actually beat Chelsea, just something they don't usually do. Things were looking good. And then the season promptly went right down the toilet. Oh, wait. It gets worse. Because this last week, it has now been announced that superstar Harry Kane is leaving Tottenham. He will be joining Bayern Munich in the Bundesliga, the top league, I guess, in German soccer. I don't know. I don't know anything about this. But I do know this. I know this isn't good news for Tottenham, obviously. Hey, Harry Kane has been with the Spurs since 2009, but he's also been unable to lead them to much of anything. The Spurs did finish second back in the 2016-2017 season. That's about the extent of it. So, is this a situation like, I don't know, a Barry Sanders? A superstar that gave it all he had, but he was just unable to do any more, just didn't feel like he was getting enough help, and he was forced to move on? Maybe. Or is Harry Kane afraid of the pressure of having to live up to the expectations of the Daily Dose Sports Podcast? Was he not ready for the scrutiny? Was he not ready for the criticism? Was Harry Kane just not ready for the smoke? Hey, we've seen this before. Don't act like this hasn't happened before. Carmelo Anthony couldn't take it. He was here with my Denver Nuggets. Couldn't take the pressure. So he left, went to New York, and he sucked. And just a short, like, what was it, 13 years later, my Denver Nuggets are now NBA champions. That's right. So get ready, Premier League. The Tottenham Hotspurs are coming. And I'm calling my shot now. In 2036, we are going to be hanging a banner. Don't say you didn't know. My loyalty, by the way, remains undeterred. Harry Kane leaving isn't going to change my rooting interest. I don't care. I'm sticking with my team. It's going to be difficult. Going to take some lumps. But success is coming. And you heard it here first. Hey, before we jump in today, just want to remind you, make sure you are stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. I wrote a little bit about the Denver Broncos' first preseason game this last week. It's a little rough to watch, if I'm being honest. But we have links to the podcast over there. We have links to the YouTube videos. And yes, we have links to Daily Dose gear. Hey, a lot of people are going back to school right now. Whether it's high school, whether it's elementary school, college, whatever. You may need a new t-shirt, a new sweatshirt, a new hoodie. Stop by DailyDoseSports.com. you will find exactly what you need. Make sure you're stopping by there at least every week. Hey, today on the show, you know, we did this in college football just a few weeks ago. But today, we're going to turn our attention over to the NFL this week, where we have the most burning questions for each NFL team going into this coming season.
And are you experiencing any discomfort?
Just a little burning during urination.
Now, I'll be honest. In order to hit every team, yeah, we're going to have to hustle a little bit. I'm going to have to get going. But if I stop screwing around now and I actually get to work, we can hit every single team in the NFL this year and give you an idea of what you might want to watch for and a few questions that we are going to be looking to find the answer for possibly all season. Might take a while to figure out some of these answers. It might take us all year. I'm not sure. But I think by the end of it, it's going to help us quite a bit. But first, let's jump into a little bit of sports news coming out this week. And let's start off in the world of college sports, where the Pac-12, hey, it's basically dead. And all that is really left is to bury the body. But, you know, there are still four teams that are looking for a new conference home. Well, the rumor was the Atlantic Coast Conference might look to gain a footprint out west by adding Stanford and Cal. Now, I don't know why you'd want Stanford and Cal. I guess you want that west recruiting, and Stanford and Cal don't pose any sort of a threat as to, you know, winning anything. So I guess that's why. But it turns out that the ACC couldn't come to an agreement on getting Stanford and Cal to join. And get this. The four schools that were the most opposed and said completely, no way, we don't want it. They don't want expansion. Florida State, Clemson, North Carolina, and North Carolina State, yeah, are the same four schools that we've heard rumors swirling that they might want to leave the ACC and get a better conference themselves. That they could be looking at the SEC or maybe the Big Ten themselves. Yeah, kind of funny how that worked out, isn't it? Those four schools, thinking about maybe leaving, they'd kind of like to make a break. Oh no, we don't want expansion. We don't want to re-up with this conference. We're kind of looking to get out of here. We don't want to stay here longer. Yeah, kind of funny that they would be the biggest objections to Cal and Stanford joining their conference, isn't it? Because you know they probably don't fear them athletically. They would probably be fine getting a footprint out west. They just don't want to re-up with the ACC. But see, here's the situation. The ACC is facing a $30 million annual revenue gap with the SEC and the Big Ten. And the priority for athletic directors is to try to get more revenue into these schools in the ACC. Well, re-upping probably doesn't help. And the ACC has looked at expansion options over the past 2 years, but they haven't been able to add any schools because they do not enhance the money that they could be making. And we know that's what this is all about. Here's the problem for these four schools. The contract of the ACC runs until, I believe, like 2035. Like 12 more years. So they don't want to eat that money that they would have to eat if they break the contract. But they want out. We know they want out. No question about it. Don't be surprised when this happens, because right now, I believe those four schools are just looking for an exit. And I believe it's just a matter of time before they find it. Whether they can get a bigger conference to buy them out, or they can come up with booster money, something. They want out of the ACC, and they want out now. And then we're going to start seeing some more cards start to fall, and it's going to get really, really interesting. Meanwhile, I believe those Pac-12 schools that are left over, they're just going to end up having to join like the Mountain West and be, I don't know, intramural teams or something like that, at least for the time being. But I think that's where that's all headed. One last story coming out in the world of sports, and this one is as bizarre as we have ever had on the Daily Dose here. Former Las Vegas Raiders and Ohio State Buckeyes cornerback Damon Arnette had a heck of a week last week. He is now being accused of serially stealing valuables, wait for it, from multiple adult film stars.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not joking. The guy has struggled staying out of trouble ever since he went into the NFL back in 2020. And these latest accusations, they're not going to help his cause. Because if you're an NFL team, why would you look at this clown? He just keeps getting in trouble again and again and again. Because he's already facing very serious consequences. He had a gun charge and he's out of the NFL currently. He's trying to get back in. However, this last week, I'm not sure she does a lot of modeling. I think she does a lot of performing. Let's say that. Model Dani Banks. Don't go Google her. I'm telling you right now, don't go Google her. I don't know what she looks like. I can imagine what she looks like, though. Apparently, Dani Banks has gone viral as she has alleged that Arnett stole from her. And she reportedly has it on camera and can back it up with video evidence. Banks claims Arnett stole her watch, one of her phones, and that he even Zelled all of her money out of her account to himself. She then accused Damon Arnett of doing this with a number of other adult film stars. Here's her full statement during a guest appearance on some sort of podcast or show, I guess. Damon Arnett, a little football player that played for the Raiders that got kicked off trying to shoot someone or something. Well, I went to the bathroom. He stole my blanking Cartier watch. He took my other phone. He Zelled all of my money out of my account. I have it all on camera. Him and his friends leaving my house. Come to find out, he does that to blanks, and then he blanking did it to me. Hey, usually we don't hear of an NFL player being accused of just stealing valuables, just stealing a phone. But Damon Arnett isn't exactly a typical NFL player or former NFL player. With that said, these are just accusations. This hasn't been turned over to the police just yet. Dani Banks does claim, though, that she has video proof, and she claims that she can show an image to the authorities and let them know that that is what happened. Now, I'm not sure how much of this to believe. This all kind of sounds crazy. Because we know Arnett does have a history. Not only did he plead guilty to gun charges, but then he was telling everyone on social media that he was having a tryout with the Dallas Cowboys. Turns out that was false. Or maybe they heard rumblings of this and they pulled back that offer to have him come try out. But I want you to stop. And I want you to think about this for a second. For one, this former Raider is literally a Raider. He is looting and stealing and pillaging. And two, this dude actually managed to outslime a porn star. That, my friends, is an absolutely amazing feat. Then again, he was an Urban Meyer recruit at Ohio State. So actually, I guess this all kind of makes some sense, doesn't it? Okay, coming back. The NFL preseason is fully underway. We are seeing teams try to brace up for that long and demanding season. But you know, every single team in the NFL has its own story. And when we get back, we are going to be asking the most burning question for every single team in the NFL. So this week on the Daily Dose, we are continuing to ramp up for the coming season in football. And we've spent some time on college football. Going to be talking about that a little more in the next few weeks. But right now, we are going to jump into the NFL. And I am going to give you one burning question that I have for every single team in the league. As we go into the season, we are looking to find out the answers to these questions. And if we can find out the answer, we're going to kind of see how their season is going to go. Maybe they're going to be a contender. Maybe they're going to be a pretender. Maybe they're going to go on and be the champs. But we have a question for every single team in the NFL. We are going to start in the AFC East, where the Buffalo Bills are the defending champions of that division. But I'm telling you right now, this division is going to be highly competitive. So what are our burning questions for each AFC East team? Let's go ahead and jump in. And let's start with those Buffalo Bills, who are not only a favorite to win this division, but they are also a favorite and a contender to win the Super Bowl. Hey, two seasons ago, the Buffalo Bills were just 13 seconds away from the Super Bowl. But the Kansas City Chiefs just found a way to get past them. Last year, Buffalo actually got sent home pretty easily by the Cincinnati Bengals. And I know there are a number of questions about the Bills' running game. There are even questions about quarterback Josh Allen and can he stay healthy? He takes a lot of risk. But that's actually not my question for the Buffalo Bills. I want to know this. Can we trust their defense? And before you're quick to say, yes, have you seen them over the last few years? Remember how their last two seasons did end. They ended when they couldn't get a stop against the Chiefs with, 13 seconds left. And when Joe Burrow completely outscored them and they couldn't do anything about it. Also remember that linebacker Tremaine Edmonds, he's gone. And Edmonds was a big part of that defense. So Buffalo is going to have to try to find a way to replace that guy, not just his stats, but also his motor, also his leadership. And that isn't always that easy to find. If the Buffalo Bills are going to win the whole thing, and whether they want to talk about it or not, I do think that kind of is the expectation this year. Their defense is going to have to be better than it was the last few years, and it's pretty good already. Can we trust that defense now that they lost a key piece of it? I want to watch that this year. We move next to the Miami Dolphins, and last season, the Dolphins made the playoffs for the first time since 2016. Hey, this team was highly explosive on offense at times. They averaged 23 points a game, and that was despite the fact that their starting quarterback, Tua Tagovailoa, missed four games. If he had played those four games, that number is much, much higher. Now, the Dolphins' defense, it's not great. They're going to have to get better, no question about that. Last year, they were kind of up and down, and when they weren't good, they got hammered. And that's going to be something to watch this year as well. But I have to ask this question. Can the Miami Dolphins protect Tua this year? The Dolphins' offensive line allowed 35 sacks last year. That's not the worst in the league by any means, but it's not great. And if Tua is going to get hit like that this year, I mean, good luck. Because I don't know that he is the size individual that can stand up to those hits. We're not talking about a Dan Marino-sized guy or a David Woodley-sized guy. Tua's a little bit smaller than that. He's got a history of head injuries. You cannot allow Tua to get decked again and again and again because if there's 35 sacks, there's what, 90-some hits probably? Maybe more than that. And when this team struggled was when they didn't have Tua. Also remember this. Last year, they didn't have a great backup behind Tua, but they had Teddy Bridgewater. He's steady. He's steady Teddy. He's not great, but he won't kill you. He usually won't make that big, huge, horrible interception at the worst possible time. Sometimes he'll do it, but it doesn't usually happen. He's usually a little smarter than that. Well, he's gone. They have some really young guys behind Tua this year. If Tua goes down, Dolphins are going to be in some trouble. That Miami offensive line must be better this year. If not, I think they're going to disappoint a lot of people. We move next to the team that was an almost guarantee to win the AFC East for decades. But those days are now over. Think about this. The New England Patriots won 19 AFC East division titles from 96 to 2019. That is quite a run right there. But like I said, those days are over. Now the Bills have won three in a row, and the rest of the division has caught up too. The Patriots went 8-9 last year and missed the playoffs. So here is my question for New England. Is offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien their secret weapon? You know, after the Patriots went last year without even having a true offensive coordinator, They averaged just 21 points a game. Bill Belichick decided, let's bring back O'Brien. Now, Bill O'Brien was never great as a head coach. But at times, he was pretty good as an offensive coordinator. Can he coach this offense and, more importantly, quarterback Mac Jones up? With Bill Belichick, and I know, Belichick doesn't look like the same guy without Tom Brady. I understand. At times, Tom Brady didn't always look like the same guy without Bill Belichick. But right now, the Patriots have a young, inexperienced quarterback, still a little immature, but we know their defense is going to be really, really good. If Bill O'Brien can bring Mac Jones up to speed, I mean, the Patriots might push for a playoff spot. We know the defense is going to be good. Belichick puts out a pretty quality product every single year defensively. Can O'Brien put out a decent offensive product? Get Mac Jones to maybe stop making the boneheaded decisions, maybe to be a little more clutch. They tried to go out and get him a couple more weapons this year. I want to see if Bill O'Brien can turn this offense around. If so, the New England Patriots are at least going to be a playoff contender. So let's finish off the AFC East with those New York Jets, who are so excited about the acquisition of quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Hey, the Jets already had a pretty good defense. Now they have A-Rod, the best quarterback that they have had since Joe Namath, easily. Hey, the Jets are on Hard Knocks this year. And we know when a team is on Hard Knocks, a lot of times we look at them and we say, I don't know if they're going to be that good, but we kind of fall in love with them. Because you get to know the players, you get to know the stories, you're a little bit closer to them. And so you sit there and you're like, I don't know, maybe the Jets could be a Super Bowl contender this year. Hey, the Jets are looking at themselves as contenders. And I've even heard some experts kind of saying this might be a dark horse Super Bowl candidate. Speaking of Hard Knocks, before we get to my burning question, I've got to throw this out there. Did you watch the first episode of Hard Knocks? And I know this is going back, I think, 2 weeks now, almost. Head coach Robert Saleh opens up by telling a little story, a little thing to the players to get them fired up. And here's the little thing he said. He told this little nature fact, I guess. He said that the only bird that will attack a bald eagle is a crow. Okay. And that what the crow does is he waits for the bald eagle to look away from him, then he jumps on his back and pecks at his neck and sees if he can hurt the eagle because he wants to kill the eagle. Maybe some other crows join in. It's a gangland slaying, right? But Robert Saleh then told this. He said, so what the eagle does is instead of trying to fight it, he flies straight up in the air as high as he can until the air gets so thin, the crow, you know, can't breathe. And so the crow passes out and falls to the earth. Now, as Jets, we can't worry about people pecking at us. We're going to go so high that everyone else is going to fall behind us. What kind of huge lie is Robert Saleh telling his players? One, does the eagle have like an oxygen tank on its mouth that it could still breathe even though the crow couldn't and plummeted to the earth? Is it like in Top Gun? I don't understand how the eagle can breathe but the crow cannot. And it was funny because it's panning around the room in this opening scene on Hard Knocks and you can see the players like, yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to fly so high. Hold on a second. Robert Saleh is making this stuff up. That is total BS. When was the last time you saw a crow just falling to the earth dead? I've never, ever in my life. Okay. I don't want to make fun of the Jets too much. I know that my head coach, Sean Payton, already called him out, so I don't want to do that. But let's now get to my burning question. Meanwhile, Robert Saleh is spinning all kinds of nature things that aren't true at all, and apparently he's just making them up. Okay. Anyways, here's my question for those New York Jets. What happens if they start slow this year? You know, the Jets open at home against the Bills. Then they go to Dallas to play the Cowboys. At home against the Patriots. At home against the Chiefs. They come to Denver, and they are home against the Eagles. Not only are those really tough games, they're really tough games in your own backyard where you need to find a way to win. What if at the end of those first six games, the New York Jets are like 1-5 or 2-4? Hey, that's a rough start. And you still have to go on the road. Young teams, usually, not always, but they usually tend to be a little bit of front runners. If things are going good, they're happy. If things aren't going good, they start falling apart. How are the Jets going to do if they start slow? Are we going to get finger pointing? Are we going to get immaturity? I want to know what they're going to do if things don't break their way. I know everyone in New York is right now looking at them and going, hey, we are headed to the Super Bowl, baby. We are going to fly so high, the crows just fly away. I'm not so sure about that. That might be a little bit made up, if you will. We move to a new division, and let's head over to the NFC East, which has gone from being one of the worst divisions in the NFL to now one of the toughest. The Philadelphia Eagles are the favorites. They are the defending NFC champions, but it's not going to be easy for Philly. This division actually sent three teams to the postseason last year. You know they'd like to do something like that again this year. Let's start off with those Dallas Cowboys, who went 12-5 last season and then lost in the playoffs to the San Francisco 49ers. Well, the Cowboys released running back Ezekiel Elliott, but they still have a ton of talent on this roster. So here is my burning question for Big D, if you will. Does anything they do this year matter until the playoffs? Let me explain what I mean. Say they go 15-2. Say they go 14-3. They're beating everybody. They're 17-0. I don't care. Aren't we all going to sit around and wait and wonder how they're going to screw this up in the postseason? Because that's what they've been doing. They barely get to the playoffs. And when they do, they haven't done anything since, what, 95, 96? It's been a while. So they can win all the games they want in the regular season. I know I'm not going to trust them until I see them do that in the playoffs when it matters. Because do we trust quarterback Dak Prescott's decision-making in the big moments? No, not really. Do we really think the Cowboys can win when it matters, when the chips are down? Not in October, no, in January and February. I still have a lot of doubts about this team. They have a ton of talent, but they're going to have to prove it if they want me to believe it. Because right now I just look at it and go, yeah, they're cute in the regular season. Let's see what happens when it really, really matters. Next up, we have the New York Giants, who didn't just make the playoffs last year. They actually went into Minnesota and won a playoff game against the Vikings. Quarterback Daniel Jones threw for 15 touchdowns. He had just 5 interceptions. Now, it did help that running back Saquon Barkley ran for 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns by himself. But in the offseason, the Giants gave Jones a 4-year, $160 million extension. So here's my burning question for those New York Giants. Can Daniel Jones live up to that contract? Because here's the downside. When you give a quarterback that much money, he has to be worth it. Because it also means you're not going to have as much money to give to other players. And the Giants still have a number of needs. I still think they need help at wideout. I'm not impressed with their wide receivers. And I think there are a number of teams that are going to look at the Giants this year and say, hey, we're going to take your wide receivers out. And you better beat us with Saquon, because if not, you're in for a long day. And Daniel Jones, you're going to have to beat us. I still think they need better cornerbacks on the defensive side of the ball. But I don't know that they're going to be able to afford any of those. Daniel Jones can't just be as good as he was last year. Not now. They're paying him too much money. He has to be better. And that's going to be interesting to see if he can do that. We move next to those NFC champion Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles were minutes away from winning the Super Bowl, but they couldn't get a stop in the second half, and the Kansas City Chiefs came back to win a dramatic Super Bowl. And that brings me to my burning question today. Forget the offense. Can the Eagles' defense maintain their level of play this year? Hey, I expect quarterback Jalen Hurts and the offense to pretty much be fine. They're going to run the ball. They'll run it pretty effectively. And I actually think Hurts is probably going to keep improving. That's how he kind of operates. Seems like every year he gets a little bit better. So I'm good with that. But remember that the Eagles have lost some talent on the defensive side of the ball. They replaced it with good young talent. But, I mean, remember, they did lose safety C.J. Gardner-Johnson. He's a pretty good player. They did lose their defensive coordinator. Over the weekend, they even lost linebacker Sean Bradley. Over the past few years, the Eagles' defense has been their strength. Maybe they don't shut you out, but they get stops when they have to. Remember last year in the postseason, they got a couple of wins because that pass rush knocked quarterbacks out of games. Well, can the Eagles do that again this year? And I do want to see how that Eagles defense responds to that Super Bowl loss, because last year in that second half, they couldn't get off the field. They couldn't get a stop. They couldn't force a punt. How do you respond to that? How do you come back this year knowing everybody saw it? Everyone said, hey, let's try to attack them the way Kansas City did. Not that everyone has Kansas City's weapons, but that defense, I think they've got something to prove this year, and I want to see if they're capable of doing it. We finish off the NFC East with the Washington Commanders, who are just so excited that they are finally rid of that horrible owner, Daniel Snyder. But as excited as they are in Washington, there are also a number of questions about this team. And the first question that I have has to be, is quarterback Sam Howell actually going to be the guy? I mean, we've barely seen him play. He played like two games last year. And now he is teaming up with new offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy. And we've really only seen Bieniemy truly succeed when he had Patrick Mahomes. I'm not sure Sam Howell is going to be Patrick Mahomes. Will he improve? Can he live with the way Bieniemy coaches, which sometimes is a little bit rough? Or is Sam Howell going to end up breaking down? We're going to end up seeing backup Jacoby Brissett. Because I'm telling you right now, if we end up seeing Brissett too much, the Washington season probably isn't going all that well. Let's move over to the AFC North, which sent two teams in the Cincinnati Bengals and the Baltimore Ravens to the playoffs last year. But I'm telling you, this division might be a little bit sneaky. If things break right, we could see some shakeups in this division. Let's start off with the Baltimore Ravens, who went 10-7 last year and lost a close game to their division rival, the Cincinnati Bengals, in the playoffs. After the season, the Ravens were able to finally sign quarterback Lamar Jackson to a long-term deal, which no doubt he deserved. So here's my question for the Ravens. Does Lamar have enough help around him? Hey, the Ravens went out, they grabbed veteran Odell Beckham Jr., and they drafted Boston College wide receiver Zay Flowers. They're going to be teaming up with Rashad Bateman and tight end Mark Andrews. That looks like a decent wide receiving core. But is it enough? Because this isn't 2015. Odell Beckham is coming off of a monster injury. He had a full season off. He might not even be anything like he used to be. Will Baltimore feed running back J.K. Dobbins a little bit more? I think that would help a ton if they would run the ball to him. But the one concern that I have about Baltimore, if you keep asking Lamar to do everything, don't be surprised when he gets hurt, because it is just a matter of time. He's not a huge guy. Protect him. Sometimes protect him from himself. He's a highly competitive guy. If you ask him to do everything, he's going to try, but he might end up getting hurt. We move next to the Cincinnati Bengals, who were the division champions last year, and they nearly made it back to the Super Bowl again. But they lost a heartbreaker to the Kansas City Chiefs in that AFC Championship game. In the offseason, the Bengals lost both of their starting safeties. That was a pretty good tandem. The offensive line, they tried to shore it up last year. It still struggled a little bit. Their leading rusher was Joe Mixon. He had just 814 yards. And quarterback Joe Burrow was still sacked 41 times. So here's my question. I love Joe Burrow. I'm really impressed with that kid. But is he good enough to keep overcoming these things? Can he overcome an offensive line that they keep trying to improve, but it doesn't seem to be working? Can he overcome if the defense isn't as great as it was? What if it takes a step back? Like I said, I love Joe Burrow, but you're asking an awful lot, especially when the AFC is just so stacked. I think you're asking a whole lot of Joe Burrow. I want to see if he's up to the task. We know he's already been dinged up a little bit in the preseason. Next up, the Cleveland Browns were so excited headed into last season. The defense was pretty good. Then they went out and paid a ton, but they got quarterback Deshaun Watson, and they were all hoping Deshaun would be their savior. Unfortunately, Deshaun looked as uncomfortable as, say, a massage therapist getting unwanted advances. And the Browns went just 7-10. Now, this team has some talent on both sides of the ball. If they could get good quarterback play, I think the Browns could be a playoff team. So that is my question for the Brownies. Can Deshaun Watson get back to his pre-massage days? Because in the 6 games he started last year, he threw 7 touchdowns, he threw 5 interceptions, he looked highly uncomfortable, and the Browns' record was just 3-3. He has to be better. If he's not better, the Browns are in big trouble, because that is a massive contract. He's got to show that he is worth that much money. Our final team in the AFC North is the Pittsburgh Steelers, who I actually believe may have overachieved a little bit last year. After losing Ben Roethlisberger to retirement, then giving up on both Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph, the Steelers handed the reins to rookie quarterback Kenny Pickett, and he kind of looked like he might be the guy. The Steelers' defense really stepped up. They helped him out, and this team is looking this year to qualify for a playoff berth. My question for Pittsburgh is this. We have seen in the last few years, the Steelers have made a point of drafting some good young offensive talent. You got Kenny Pickett. This year, you go get tackle Broderick Jones. You got running back Najee Harris. Can they start showing some results on offense, though? If you're going to ask Pickett to win games with just George Pickens, I mean, you might win a couple, but that's going to be tough. You can take away one guy. And Steeler quarterbacks were sacked nearly 40 times last year. Najee Harris was solid, probably needs to be better. I want to see if these young players can step up and give Kenny Pickett some help, because I think he's going to need it in his second year. Teams are going to be a little more prepared for him this year. So we move next to the NFC North, and this is a division that is really changing in the last few seasons, because it used to be in the NFC North. It was the Green Bay Packers and then kind of everyone else. That's not the case anymore. The Minnesota Vikings won the division last year. The Detroit Lions just barely missed the playoffs. So what should we expect in the NFC North this year? We start off with the Chicago Bears, who are actually generating a little bit of buzz this year because of what quarterback Justin Fields has done so far. Fields led the Bears in both passing and rushing last year. And the Bears were also able to pick up wide receiver DJ Moore, giving Fields a legit number one receiver this year. However, my question isn't actually for the offense. What I want to know is, can the Bears defense generate a pass rush? Do you realize it's kind of weird for the Bears, because we always think of the Bears, you know, monsters of the Midway. The Bears finished dead last a year ago. They had just 20 sacks as a team. Now, sacks to me aren't the biggest stat, but it does give you some idea as to the amount of pressure that you're getting on opposing quarterbacks. And if you're not, your defense is going to break down. You have no chance. Are you really going to ask Justin Fields to have to overcome a really poor defense? I don't know. It seems like you're asking an awful lot of a very young guy. The Bears are, of course, in a full rebuild job, but they need that defense to get better, and they need it to get better quickly. We move next to the Detroit Lions, who nearly made the postseason for the first time since 2016. The Lions won 8 of their final 10 games. They really seemed like they were coming together down the stretch. And I think we all kind of want to know, can the Lions actually knock down that wall and make the playoffs? Well, here's what I'm asking of the Lions this year. Can your defense at least pretend to try this year? Last year, Jared Goff and the Lions offense averaged 380 yards a game. They scored nearly 27 points per game. That sounds pretty good. Unfortunately, the Lions defense was terrible. They allowed nearly 400 yards a game, and 25 points per game. Now, pass rusher Aiden Hutchinson, he looks like the real deal. If the Lions can stay healthy, and that defense improves even a little bit, I mean, I would think the Lions would be a contender. But that defense has to get better. Next up are those Green Bay Packers who are moving on to a new chapter in their history, because quarterback Aaron Rodgers is now a New York Jet. Now, the Packers did something for new starting quarterback Jordan Love that they never did for Rodgers. They went out and they actually tried to find him some offensive help. We'll see if it pans out. But the question I have for the Packers is, can you run the football? Don't make this harder on Jordan Love than you have to. And, you know, it might actually help your defense, because that defense last year was a little under average. If the Packers could run the ball with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, they're both pretty good, it's going to hide some of your flaws. Take some of the pressure off of Jordan Love. Take some of the pressure off of that defense. Run the football. I want to see if they'll commit to doing that. We finish off the NFC North with the Minnesota Vikings, who were really starting to look like they might be special last year. Like, this team might actually be a Super Bowl contender. They went 13-4. They found some insane ways to win games right at the end. And then they went to the playoffs, where they hosted a scrappy New York Giants team that stunned them and sent them home for the summer. Now, we know the narrative with Minnesota is always going to be quarterback Kirk Cousins. But I am way more interested in the answer to this question. Can this defense ever get a stop? Do you realize that Minnesota had the second worst defense in the NFL last year? They allowed 389 yards and 25 points a game. You want to know how to get upset at home in the playoffs? Allow Daniel Jones and the New York Giants to come into your place and score 31 points in your building. Trust me, it's not going to go well for you. Okay, coming back. We are now halfway through our burning questions for every NFL team, but we still need to get over to the AFC and NFC South and the AFC and NFC West. So yes, we will be hitting the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, the Super Bowl hopeful San Francisco 49ers, and of course, my hometown Denver Broncos when we get back. So let's finish off our burning questions for every single NFL team. And we are now at the AFC South, which last year actually saw the Jacksonville Jaguars win the division. And they were actually the only divisional team to make the playoffs. Will that change this year? We start off with the Houston Texans, who had a pretty good offseason. They went out. They got a new exciting head coach in D'Amico Ryans. Then they drafted what they are hoping is their franchise quarterback in C.J. Stroud. And they even picked up what they are hoping to be an anchor on defense in pass rusher Will Anderson Jr. But my question actually isn't about whether Stroud can beat out veteran Davis Mills for the starting quarterback job. No, my question is, what about all those people surrounding the quarterback? Hey, I really like running back Damian Pierce. But can you name one wide receiver on this team? It's not easy. It's a bunch of really young guys and veteran Robert Woods, who isn't a true number one receiver. The offensive line isn't great. No matter who ends up being the starter at quarterback for the Houston Texans, either CJ Stroud or Davis Mills, they're going to need help, and they're going to need a lot of it. I want to see if the Texans offensive roster is capable of helping them a little bit. Next up, we have the Indianapolis Colts, who disappointed everyone yet again last year. They went just 4-12, and they started to show signs that maybe they're not just a quarterback away. Like, we were thinking, they have the defense, they have the offensive line, they have some skill positions, they just need a quarterback. Well, now I'm starting to wonder. So during the season, the Colts fired head coach Frank Reich. They brought in Philadelphia Eagles offensive coordinator Shane Steichen. Then they signed veteran quarterback Gardner Minshew and drafted Florida freak athlete quarterback Anthony Richardson. Here's my question for the Colts this year. How patient will they be? Not just for Richardson, because Anthony Richardson is going to wow you with his potential. But he might not always make the best decisions. He needs a few more years to mature. But it's not just the quarterback spot. They also need to be patient with running back Jonathan Taylor, who has been sitting out, upset with his contract, and he is just returning this week to action. Don't bring him back too fast, though. You'll get him injured if you do. And don't give in to fans who are going to want to see Richardson from the start, even if he's not ready. The Indianapolis Colts need to be smart here. This isn't just about one season. They want to make sure that they're good for a while, and that's going to take some patience. I want to see if they have it. Next up are those division champions. Yes, the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags went 9-8 last year and made the playoffs. Okay, 9-8. Maybe they weren't great. But not many teams in the NFL were hotter than Jacksonville last season coming down the stretch. The Jags won 7 of their final 9 games. They even managed to upset the Los Angeles Chargers in the wild card game of the playoffs. So here is my question for Jacksonville. Are they going to pick up where they left off? Or are they going to look more like the team that they looked like they were early in the season? Remember when they lost like 5 games in a row to not very good talent? But by the end, quarterback Trevor Lawrence, he was finally starting to look like the guy they had hoped they were getting. Head coach Doug Peterson had this group playing so well. But you also have to know that expectations can do funny things, especially to a young team. This defense must get better, and the Jags have to come out playing like they did at the end of last year, not at the beginning. The final team in the AFC South is the Tennessee Titans, who went 7-10 and didn't make the playoffs. And then they had a really confusing offseason because they tried to trade both quarterback Ryan Tannehill and running back Derrick Henry, but no one was interested. So then they brought them both back and went out and signed wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. So, I mean, the Titans should be a contender, right? But here's my question. In 3 of the last 4 seasons, Derrick Henry has had over 300 carries. I mean, I hate to ask, but I got to. How much does Derrick Henry actually still have? I know that running backs are really upset right now. They're not getting the contracts that they feel they deserve. But I also know that running back production begins to drop the more carries they get. When does it really hit Henry? Because he is such a punishing runner, but that takes a toll on your body. And if Tennessee doesn't get much from him, they're going to be in big, big trouble. Let's head down to the NFC South, one of the most confusing divisions in this league, because I'm not sure if any of these teams are really very good, but one of them, maybe even 2 of them, could be headed to the playoffs this year, as weird as that sounds. Now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the division last year, but they had an 8-9 record. So they pretty much won by default, not really because they were that great. Let's start off with the Atlanta Falcons, who showed some flashes of at least being scrappy last year. They had wins over Seattle. They had wins over San Francisco. But then quarterback Marcus Mariota got benched, and then he quit, kind of said he was injured. And the Falcons started to spiral a little bit, but they did finish with 2 wins to close out the season, and they won those 2 games under rookie quarterback Desmond Ridder. So I think the obvious question here has to be, is Desmond Ridder actually good enough to lead the Falcons to a playoff berth? Now, Atlanta went out in the NFL draft this year. They picked up Texas running back Bijan Robinson. That should help Ridder a lot. It will definitely help him sell those play-action fakes, because he is a threat on every play. The run game would also benefit Atlanta's defense. It's not a great defense. But if Desmond Ridder can't keep defenses honest down the field with his passing, this won't go well. Because teams will just load up the box and say, well, we dare you. If you can beat us deep, but we're shutting everything down, your defense isn't going to be very good, and we bet we can force some 3-and-outs and wear you out. Desmond Ridder has to be pretty solid. If he is, I think Atlanta could be in the hunt for a playoff berth. The Carolina Panthers are really hoping that newly drafted quarterback Bryce Young is going to be their future. Yes, Bryce is a small guy. But hey, he's found ways to be successful everywhere he's been, including in his college career at Alabama, facing some pretty good defenses. So last year, the Carolina Panthers started really slow. They had a 2-7 record. They fired their head coach, Matt Rhule. On came interim head coach, Steve Wilks, who actually rallied them to win 5 games down the stretch. But then the Panthers fired him and brought in Frank Reich to take over. Here is my question for the Carolina Panthers. Can Frank Reich do for Bryce Young what he couldn't do for Phillip Rivers or Matt Ryan in Indianapolis? Because Frank Reich couldn't get anything out of either of those two guys. And hey, maybe they were both over the hill. Maybe the game had passed them by. Maybe they had nothing left. Maybe they didn't have enough talent around them. But Bryce isn't going to have a ton of talent either. Frank Reich has to find a way to make Bryce Young successful. I don't think that's going to be easy to do because they don't have a ton of talent in Carolina. But that's what he's going to have to do if they want to do anything this year. The New Orleans Saints are another team that have got to be feeling a little bit confident going into the season. Yes, they went just 7-10 last year, but they have a really soft schedule this year. And they have added new quarterback Derek Carr, which has to have the Big Easy feeling pretty good about their chances this year. So here's my question for the Saints. They seem to have a lot of off-the-field distractions. Running back Alvin Kamara, he's going to have to serve a 3-game suspension for a fight he had in Vegas. Wide receiver Michael Thomas hates football, never wants to play. So is this team coming together, or are they just going to fall apart? If New Orleans wins games early, they may solidify. They have a chance to make a run at the playoffs, but I don't trust them. This group is kind of flaky. If they struggle, I could see a lot of these guys following their own agendas. I don't care about the team. I care about my contract. I care about this. I care about that. I could see the Saints splintering. I actually think the Saints should be a playoff team. I just don't know if I believe they will be. We finish out the NFC South with the defending divisional champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And hey, like we said, the Bucs kind of backed into the playoffs last year. They had just an 8-9 record. And then they went to the playoffs and they got curb stomped by the Dallas Cowboys. And quarterback Tom Brady retired. So they signed free agent Baker Mayfield. And it sounds like he's beating out Kyle Trask for the starting quarterback job. Hey, Tampa has a few weapons. They've got a decent defense, although it's getting older. And they do have Chris Godwin. They do have Mike Evans. Here's my question for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Can head coach Todd Bowles get anything out of his quarterback when last year he couldn't even get that much out of Tom Brady? The offensive line isn't very good. I don't have much faith in Baker Mayfield. I don't think he's a guy that can go in and really lead a team consistently. He'll have a good week. He might have 2 good weeks, and then he's going to have about 3 or 4 bad ones. And he's probably going to say something dumb in the process. I don't know. I'm a little bit worried about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. This may go poorly. We finish off our American Football Conference with the AFC West that saw both the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers make the playoffs a year ago. The Chiefs, of course, won the Super Bowl, and the Chargers did what they do. So how does the AFC West stack up this year? We start off with my hometown Denver Broncos, who are on a horrible streak right now. Since winning Super Bowl 50 back in 2015, the Broncos haven't made the playoffs. And honestly, they really haven't been close. And last year might have been the most painful. After trading for quarterback Russell Wilson, the Broncos were a complete disaster. They went 5-12, and they looked completely dysfunctional in the process. They fired head coach Nathaniel Hackett, and they have now brought in former New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton to take over. So, I think the question here is obvious. Can Sean Payton fix Russell Wilson? People forget that when Sean Payton got Drew Brees at the age of 27, Drew Brees was barely above a .500 quarterback. Payton turned him into a Hall of Famer. Having said that, this might be tougher. Russell Wilson will still show some flashes here and there, but remember, this is a guy that has been sacked an astounding 482 times in his career. He's gun shy. He's like an abused child at this point. He just ducks. Sean Payton is going to have to build him back up, and it will not be easy. But if he can do it, I think the Broncos could have a shot at a playoff spot. But that's going to take a ton of work. The Kansas City Chiefs won their second Super Bowl in 4 seasons, and quarterback Patrick Mahomes and head coach Andy Reid, they just seem to be one of those exceptional combinations, and they overcome everything. Lose Tyreek Hill, go get Juju Smith-Schuster. Go get Kadarius Toney. Lose Orlando Brown, they go get Donovan Smith. So here's my question for the Kansas City Chiefs this year. Can they just keep replacing pieces and never feel it? They keep overcoming these losses. They don't miss a beat. Now, they have been very fortunate in terms of major injuries. That could change things. But this year, Frank Clark is gone. Mecole Hardman left. They even lost offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy this year. But does any of it faze them? Or do they just keep on rolling? Hey, the Kansas City Chiefs are the favorite again this year. We're going to see if they're capable of running this back. Remember, we have not had back-to-back Super Bowl winners since clear back in 2003. It's really tough to do that. The Las Vegas Raiders are now in year two of the Josh McDaniels era. Year one, it was a little bit of a mixed bag. There were some good. They were solid offensively, but their defense was one of the worst in the league. They allowed 366 yards a game. So the Raiders went out this offseason, and they tried to upgrade. That's right. Their offense. Derek Carr is out. Jimmy Garoppolo is in. Running back Josh Jacobs, they say, is holding out for a better contract. Tight end Darren Waller is out. They had to go get rookie Michael Mayer to take over. But forget Jimmy Garoppolo. I have one question here for the Raiders. Can they play any defense? We know Jimmy G will probably get hurt at some point this year. He usually does. And when that happens, veteran backup Brian Hoyer will be in. But can the defense help out a little bit? Or are you going to ask Brian Hoyer to outscore people? If you do, probably won't go all that well for you. I guess you can try it, but that defense needs to improve. We finish off the AFC West with the Los Angeles Chargers, and this team is again really loaded. After going 10-7 last year, they just got more talent. I mean, think about the weapons they have. Justin Herbert has Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and now Quentin Johnston and Austin Eckler. And the defense has Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack and Derwin James. The Chargers are an all-star team. And you know what? I would bet they're going to be kind of a sneaky popular pick this year to win the Super Bowl. Why shouldn't they be? This team looks amazing on paper. And they were upset early in the playoffs last year. So they should be back and focused. And honestly, 2023 should be their year. So here is my question for the Lightning Bolts. Will it ever actually be their year? Because every year we say, okay, this should be their year. But it's never their year. But this year really should be their year. Will it be? I don't know. I've been hearing that since like the 70s. So the last division to cover today as we ask our burning questions is, of course, the NFC West, and this one could produce a couple of Super Bowl contenders. Last season, the San Francisco 49ers and Seattle Seahawks made the postseason, and they should both be in the hunt again. But we start off at the other end of the spectrum with the Arizona Cardinals, who went 4-13 last year and fired head coach Cliff Kingsbury. They lost quarterback Kyler Murray to a pretty significant knee injury, and there isn't even a timetable announced for his return just yet. The Cards also lost wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. Now, they have a lot of future picks. They have some future capital. But this roster, as it stands right now, doesn't have a ton of talent. So here's my burning question. Do the Cardinals even want to win this year? And I'm not being sarcastic, because if they are terrible, like worst in the league, they would have a chance to go get USC quarterback Caleb Williams. Let me ask you this. Would you rather have Kyler Murray and that massive contract, or go get Caleb Williams? Yeah, me too. The Cardinals literally might not even try to win this year. The Los Angeles Rams are just 2 years removed from winning a Super Bowl, but they went 5-12 last year. And there were rumors that head coach Sean McVay had had enough and that maybe he was done. Now, this franchise absolutely sold out for a title 2 years ago, and they got it. But what now? And so my question for the Rams is, is this team just in a full rebuild mode? Because Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Floyd, Allen Robinson, they are all gone. Quarterback Matt Stafford has some significant injury concerns. If he's good, I think the Rams will be a little bit scrappy. If he's not, this is going to be tough. Now, the defense took a massive step backwards last year. It feels like the Rams' window is closing fast and that it might have already slammed shut. So are they ready to rebuild and start over? Or will they keep trying to hang on to what they used to have? The San Francisco 49ers look like they might be the team to watch in the coming years. They have so much talent on that team. It was all over. Then they had a rookie quarterback looking like a star. They made the deal for running back Christian McCaffrey. And the Niners defense is a monster. Plus they have wide receiving talent. Plus they had a great offensive line. And then things changed a little bit. Because Trey Lance, who was the hopeful, underachieved and broke his ankle. And then they say he's had to have multiple surgeries on that ankle. Okay, that's not good. But don't worry, because rookie quarterback Brock Purdy came on, he looked incredible. But then in the playoffs against the Eagles, he suffered a bizarre elbow injury, and they say it took months before the doctors could even do anything to it. So as much talent as the Niners have all over the field, I still have to ask this question. Do they have a quarterback? Now, I have heard Purdy is playing again, but that he hasn't looked very sharp. Jimmy Garoppolo, of course, is in Vegas. So what, Trey Lance will be the guy? Who ends up winning this job? This team is loaded. They are a Super Bowl contender, but they need a very key position to step up. We finish out our burning question for every single team in the NFL, and we finish up with the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks surprised most everyone last year. After they dealt quarterback Russell Wilson, Geno Smith stepped in, and hey, dude did a phenomenal job. The Hawks went 9-8. They made it to the playoffs. Geno threw 30 touchdowns. That's more than double what he had ever thrown in a season. He threw just 11 interceptions, the best of his career as a full-time starter. So here's my burning question for the Seahawks. While the offense was pretty solid, the Seattle defense was a long way from those Legion of Boom days. Seattle allowed 362 yards. They allowed 24 points a game. That ranks them among the worst in the NFL. So can the defense improve? Because otherwise, you're going to need Geno Smith to have a greatest season ever again. And I'm not fully confident that can happen. I mean, we kind of know who he is. Yes, he was very good last year. Much, much better under Pete Carroll than ever anywhere before. But is he really going to have another greatest season of his life? It's a lot to ask. Maybe the defense should step up and carry some of their part. You know, the NFL preseason is fully underway now. And as usual, news is going to start coming out. Players will get injured. Players will get signed. Players will get cut. But think about this. The NFL regular season is now less than 1 month away. And you just know we cannot wait for it. Because the NFL is must-see TV every single year, and this year will be no exception. Hey, next week on the Daily Dose, we are going to be bringing you our Daily Dose 2023 college football preview. We're going to be joined by a special guest to preview the coming season. We will break down some of that conference realignment, some of the contenders in each conference, the Heisman hopefuls, coaches on the hot seat, and we will be making our prediction for the very last four-team college football playoff and who is going to be winning the title when it is all said and done. So be sure you turn into the Daily Dose next week and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to the Daily Dose. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
And are you experiencing any discomfort?
Just a little burning during urination.